It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as always. And, all right, Woody, it was Alabama-Georgia last weekend. Supposed to be game of the year, and there was a moment there where it wasn't looking like such, but it actually became a darn good game. And just for those who were not aware, you were actually in attendance at this game, correct?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And you know what? We of course, we've got our rundown here that we can break down as far as impact players, stats, you know, so on and so forth, and there's a lot of that to get into. But just give me at least the gist of what it was like to be there in first person.
It was unbelievable. The energy in that stadium was as high as I've ever seen it. And I've been to a lot of Alabama football games. And it wasn't high just at game time. It was, as you know, the president was there, so everybody got there early. Stadium was packed probably 30, 45 minutes prior to game time. It just built from there, and by game time, everybody was just white, you know, just lit, and you could feel the energy.
Yeah, I was watching the game, of course, and the crowd was even by Alabama standards, I would say it was unbelievable. But that could have just been because Alabama got out to a 28-0 lead with relative ease. I mean, I was watching the game; it did not take long. I think it was 21-0 at the end of the first, and then they tacked on, the fourth touchdown in the second. But I could be misremembering. But the bottom line is, this was we talked about this being a legacy game for Kirby Smart. A legacy game for Kalen DeBoer, because if you can beat Georgia, that tells us with confirmation that Alabama's in good hands. But I would say it was even more so for Smart. I mean, he's got to be able to beat this Bama team now that Saban's gone, and dude was down 28-0.
Yeah. He was down early and quick, and they literally had no answer at the beginning. They could not handle Alabama's speed on the edges, and they were totally confused in every formation they tried to run.
Well, and I've got some of the stats here, along with starting out with that hot 28-0 lead. They outgained the Dogs, but to Georgia's credit, by the end of the game, the stats looked a lot closer, 547 to 519. I respect Alabama. They maintained offensive efficiency. They really needed to do that. They threw 27 for 33. I mean, that's not too bad at all. That's the same amount of completions as the Dogs had on 17 less attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got you were averaging over 11 yards a pass. You outrushed him by almost 100 yards on just six more attempts. So, yeah. I mean – even by the end of the game, offensively, you looked far better tuned than Georgia. I know Georgia made some mistakes. They entered this game not having a single turnover. They had four against a tied defense. We knew this was going to be a game where, okay, you're playing both sides are playing the best players they've faced all year. And I can get your thoughts on this, of course, but who were the impact players in your mind in this game?
Well, you start with the QB, Milrow.
Right. That was the rhetorical answer.
The phenom, you know, the 17-year-old freshman who in person is more dynamic than watching him on TV.
Yeah.
There were several other key players. The first long play at Alabama connected on was E-Man, the guy mentioned to you week or so ago. He has super speed, and Law was another one, and then the overall group on the defensive side, they really were flying to the ball, especially first half, and it was a complete team contribution.
Yes, and I think this is also a question that doesn't — it's not really as loaded of a question as it sounds. I think this is pretty obvious, at least based on what the consensus was after the game. But, of course, it's great to have a 28-0 lead, but when you blow one, do you think that says more cause for concern regarding Bama, or do you think that's just more praising Georgia being cool-headed in a crisis?
I think you got to give Georgia credit for hanging in there and not giving up and just keep chipping away. But I think on the other side of the ball, on Alabama's side, I think DeBoer may have tried to shut it down a little too much.
Ease up a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bama was just in a position where they wanted to get a booming lead, and safe to say they got that. But I think they realized that, especially once doing it so easily, it's like, okay, maybe, you know, it's not necessarily something that you see in the coaching. It's not necessarily something that you can spot, but maybe psychologically, you just kind of go into cruise control. You're like, we got this. There's room for error now. This game's ours, whatever. And Georgia, yeah, they proved that, they proved that that's not going to be the case when you're facing them, even at home.
Right.
And, that's what a lot of people, I would say, were saying on social media. They were saying, hey, look, congrats to Georgia. This loss doesn't mean nearly as much as it would have meant last year, for example. Georgia, close road loss. They had a big deficit. They overcame it. They showed what makes them a contender, their grit, yada, yada, yada. And I got to ask you this, just with you being at the game. When Georgia did take the 34-33 lead late in the game, How'd you feel?
Well, I felt like all the rest of the 100,000+, and the air went out of that stadium.
Right.
I mean, basically, you could hear a pin drop. And
I know it wasn't silent for long.
No, it wasn't. And but you know, you kind of felt empty, you know, when that. When they went ahead, but you know, I think they had to lead for something like 18 seconds.
Yeah,
and then Milroe connected to probably, I think, the best play of the game, to Williams.
It was, I do believe it was the best play of the game. And with you mentioning that, I asked you about impact players a moment ago. You mentioned Jalen Milroe and Ryan Williams. Those are the two players I've got here. Jalen Milroe, I've been giving him credit, especially these past few weeks, for really just blossoming as a dual-threat QB. He's always been a great athlete, but I really wanted to see it, you know, see just how dominant he could be. Well, Jalen had 491 total yards to his name, 4 touchdowns. On the ground, he had 117 yards and half of those touchdowns. He just went – he was phenomenal. Ryan Williams had 6 catches for 177 yards and a touchdown. And as you said, it was the catch and run to take the lead back. From my experience, while you were drowning in deafening screams over there in Tuscaloosa, I saw that Georgia took the lead. I went to tell my father, because my dad always likes to see Bama lose. So I went to go tell him, and when I'm coming to tell him, I see Alabama, like, celebrating a touchdown. And I'm like, what? I mean, it really, genuinely, it was that quick. Just goes out there perfectly. Great body control. I mean, the way he kind of contorted himself to catch the ball in front of the Georgia defender, land on like a spin move. It was some weird stuff. And then he starts darting down the sideline. There's 2 defenders. He does another spin move, makes them clash, and then he just hauls it down the end zone, or down the sideline to the end zone. Unbelievable. And I think that kind of adds to the narrative that, okay, Bama maybe took their foot off the pedal. The minute they realized, uh-oh, we're in trouble, we see that just right out of the gate for Alabama to take the lead right back, no questions asked. And then they even got a 2-point conversion with it as well. I think they – I'm not saying they were, like, resting on purpose, but I think they knew, uh-oh, we're losing, we gotta lock in again, and just took the lead right back.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. Now, also in the second half, Bama missed about 3 or 4 key plays that they either dropped a pass or a penalty or something that killed their drives. So if they could have connected on or made one of those drives, you know, to the end zone, it would probably change the game even more at that time. But, you know, as I said a while ago, you got to give Georgia credit.
Yeah,
they hung in there and they kept playing.
Well, and if I were a Georgia fan today, I'd be feeling pretty conflicted as far as what to take away from the game for 2 reasons. One, as I said, hey, we went into Tuscaloosa. We put up 34 on Bama. I think that's the most anyone's put up on them. That's tied for most that anyone's put up on them since Tennessee put 52 on y'all in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ties Texas from last year as far as most points scored on the Tide. So, hey, great, right? Mm-hmm. You only lost by a touchdown. You showed that cool-headedness we talked about earlier. But if I were a Georgia fan, I wouldn't be able to shake the thought of, okay, did we only make that comeback because the team went easy on us? I mean, you get a huge lead. We bring it back. Then you just score right again, no questions asked. I mean, it's like I feel like you're playing with your food here, you know, if you're Alabama. And that's why Alabama's number one in the country. I mean, and I think that's a very fair ranking, especially when you consider that Texas kind of had a slow start with Mississippi State.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean anything right now.
You're right. It doesn't. Especially coming from the AP when their poll doesn't even matter later on anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, that's great. I don't think the players are paying any attention to that. We'll find some of that answers tomorrow when we see how they respond to Vandy.
Yeah, and Woody doesn't say that jokingly. We're being genuine. Because Vandy, and we'll touch more on this probably when we come back from break, but Vandy is a are they Bama? No. Are they anywhere near Bama? Absolutely not. I don't know if there's a time in college football history where they were ever near Bama, but it's just a matter of this team is better than it looks, and we've seen that on a couple of occasions throughout this season, so we'll touch on that. Heisman talks here. We're hearing names like Jalen Milroe, Colorado's Travis Hunter. There's a guy named Ashton Ginty, or however you say his last name, running back at Boise State. He's getting a lot of Heisman talks with how statistically dominant he's been. But honestly, I've seen like really no talk for Ryan Williams for whatever reason.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit of rumblings, but like you said, there's been no real talk about Ryan.
And of course, I don't know why.
I don't either, but, you know, I don't think Ryan's too concerned about winning the Heisman as a freshman.
No. Yeah, the 17-year-old, he's still trying to, you know, I was about to make a joke about his age. I'm not going to do that. I'm 23. What am I doing here? I'll be professional. But no, Ryan Williams, yeah, spring chicken, to say the absolute least. So assuming that he doesn't, you know, try to bounce around, I don't know why he'd leave Bama. Assuming that he doesn't hurry out of his collegiate career later on down the road, he certainly has time, yes, to win the Heisman. But I think this is a name that should at least be in the discussion because he has just – his athleticism is crazy. I think I compared him to Devontae Smith earlier this season on the show. And, I mean, Devontae was undersized and, you know, wide receiver's an underdog position in the Heisman race anyway. But, man, if you're popping off like this, who cares? I mean, you know, I don't care what size you are. I don't care what position you play. And quite frankly, now we have to say, I don't care how old you are. If you are playing at that caliber, I think you need to be in the conversation. So we'll see how he holds up as the season progresses. But, yeah, okay, so I hinted at this earlier, and we talked about the Alabama side of it. I talked about this being this was a legacy game for Kirby Smart and the Dogs. They didn't win it. It looks like they could have lost it by more. Just to revisit that before we go to break here very quickly. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think – this affects Georgia and Kirby Smart's legacy? I hate to make that sound so overdramatic.
Well, that makes him, after the game, that makes him what? 1-9 against Bama?
Gosh.
And
his one win over him was in the national title game in a rematch after he had previously lost by 17 to them.
Right.
So it's rough, man.
It's going to put an asterisk for sure by his name.
Right.
I mean, he's beat everybody else but Bama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and Saban wasn't on the sidelines this time, so.
You can't use that excuse.
I don't think you can say it. He can't beat Saban. He's got an Alabama problem, it sounds like to me.
Well, and Saban himself put it best. He had Georgia being the top team because he said, I mean, he didn't put it this way, but this is the way I interpreted it. I'm the only guy that could beat Georgia consistently. And now I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to see who can beat Georgia. Well, as you said, Bama just did it again. So I'm cool with Bama being number one. I can't deny that. I doubt Saban's denying it either. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
You keep cleaning out the garage, and there's no room for your car. That's why it's time you call Florida's Finest Structures. They're locally owned and operated for over 20 years, and they build quality sheds, cottages, gazebos, garages, man caves,
and G-sheds.
That's right. What makes them unique is they build your structure on your property. No need to take down a fence or a tree. Just show them where you want your new shed, and they'll start building. Get the quality and the experience at the best prices in town. It's Florida Finest Structures, with sales locations in Pensacola, Pace, and in Gulf Breeze.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Hey, it's Flint Lockwood here from Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered these amazing living foodimals. But wait, we've also discovered a crisis that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. That's almost 17 million kids. Our mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks, helping connect children and families who face hunger to billions of pounds of food, reaching shelters, schools, and community centers in every county in America, including yours. Help Flint and the Feeding America network of food banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ryan Radke here from Westwood One. Mike Golic and I are set to bring you Sunday Night Football this week from the Steel City when Justin Fields and the Steelers host Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Dallas is 2-2 coming off a critical win over the Giants, while the Steelers look to bounce back from their first loss of the season. Join us for what should be a great matchup. It's the Cowboys at the Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
The Cowboys take on the Steelers at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Pensacola High School, Booker T. Washington High School. It's the ESPN High School Game of the Week on ESPN Pensacola. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., the Pensacola High Tigers clash with the Booker T. Washington High Wildcats. Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN Pensacola. We are your home for the Area High School Game of the Week, ESPN Pensacola.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, ESPN Pensacola, the mobile app. I'm assuming you're listening to us one of those ways somehow, so just keep doing that. This show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment, of course, and also Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as always. All right, Woody, when we left off, we talked about Georgia. They'll never get ahead of the Tide. We talked about Bama, of course, it being a great win for them. And now we kind of get mellow. We kind of mellow out as we go into Nashville to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. First impressions, my friend, what do you got?
Well, it will, as usual, feel like a home game for Bama because Bama will have more fans there than Vandy will.
That is likely true.
And I don't see it being an easy game. I see DeBoer playing it close to the vest, not showing a lot, but I think Bama will cover for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's a given. You speaking of covering the spread, Bama favored by 22.5. That's where the spread has set for a little bit, I think for basically all this week. So people are assuming, yeah, Bama is going to win this game easy. I don't think people are really devoting much elbow grease into betting on this spread because it's like, okay, Alabama can obviously beat Vandy, can obviously beat them easily. All the bettors got their fix with Bama and Georgia last weekend. I've got some fun facts for you. Well, maybe not fun if you're from Nashville, but fun facts for us. The Commodores have not beaten Alabama in 40 years, since 1984. Granted, they don't play every year, but they've still played on several occasions since 1984. They have not scored more than 10 points on the Tide since 1999, and their last three meetings have seen the Crimson Tide outscore Vandy 148-3. So, to tie our little bow on this first impressions segment, yes, Bama should have this. But, and I'll let you kind of take the lead on this segment here, we hinted at earlier, this isn't the same Vandy team that we are used to see.
No, it's not. They will look on the hoof. They will look closer to an SEC team school. But they've got a quarterback that's
yes,
good.
Yes, they do.
And that's key. Last year he was at New Mexico, I think, or New Mexico State. He's a quarterback to beat Auburn. That was the team he was playing on. I think it was Mexico State.
It was New Mexico State, and I was gonna mention it, and I'm like, should I mention that? Would that be a cheap shot? But you just swooped right in and did it anyway. Yes, if Diego Pavia is his name, and if you don't know him from Vandy, you know him as the guy at New Mexico State who beat Auburn 31-10. That's the same guy. I think he's a great QB, and I've got some info on him. But he is really the main reason why Bama shouldn't overlook Vandy here. Because at least as far as their defense is concerned, they maybe shouldn't. We talked about them giving up a lot of points to Georgia. And, you know, it's an intoxicating rivalry win. I think we can call Georgia a rival now, especially nowadays. But Diego Pavia, he's a lethal dual threat. He's bringing 2 years of experience from New Mexico State with him to Nashville. And over the course of his collegiate career, he's established himself as, quite tricky on his feet. He hit almost 1,000 rushing yards last year, en route to going 10-5 with the Aggies. I think if anyone's going to be prepared for a lethal dual threat QB, it's got to be Alabama when you watch how Jalen Milroe plays.
Yeah.
I mean, you run some practices with Jalen Milroe as a defensive talent, you're going to be prepared for Diego.
Yeah, you are. And Diego, he's not as fast as Milroe by a long shot.
Oh, no. I mean, I give him credit where it's due. Great athlete. He's Vandy's leading passer, obviously, and their leading rusher. So he's a big part of this offense, just like you would expect a dual threat QB to be. But as you said, we've talked a lot over the course of this season about the caliber of athlete on average. We've talked about their strengths. We've talked about the speed. We've talked about the gaps between those two. And we can call Vandy an SEC team all we want. But when held next to Alabama, they're lucky to look like the Sun Belt.
Yeah, they don't have the near the quality athlete Bama's going to put on the field. And so that's a big plus, always is, when it's playing Vandy for Alabama. But Alabama's going to have to play sound on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to have to play gap control
right.
and all that because of the type of offense Vandy's going to try to run. And, you know, they can't be undisciplined. They'll have to be disciplined.
Yeah, you'll see Alabama in bigger games, at least in my experience. When they're playing some of their biggest games of the year, you'll see them make some careless mistakes, whether it be a false, like multiple false starts or an offsides or, you know, any or a holding, maybe some more holding penalties, whatever it may be. You'll see Alabama make a bit more mistakes. As you said, that shouldn't be a problem here. Yeah, you're going on the road after an intoxicating win. But it's Vandy. It's not. I'm not even trying to be mean. It's just true. I've watched my own team play at Vandy, and it's easy to kind of either not. It's either easy to maintain yourself in that environment because there's just not a lot of action there, or as you said, especially with a fan base like Alabama's, you're going to see a lot of crimson in those stands.
Oh yeah.
So it's just. It's not a knock. It's just the way it is. What, as you said, especially defensively, don't shrug off Vandy. I think, and this is just kind of a hint at the score predictions we give at the bottom of the show every day or every week, but I look at Vandy, I'm like, they'll put up some points on Bama, especially by their own standard. No, it's not going to be 35-31, nail-biter, obviously not. But I think, what was it? What did I say? In the last three meetings, it's been 148-3. Yeah, they're going to score more than 3 points on this Tide team. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I'll give them 7.
Okay, my take's going to get even hotter. I'm going to give them more than 7. I'll just leave it at that. But in all seriousness, though, yeah, this is not a team to sleep on. Bama's in a position where they can very easily sleep on Vandy, but Vatek slept on Vandy.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be an ACC dark horse. They go stumbling into Nashville. They lose.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mizzou, who hosted Vandy, and Vandy had just lost to Georgia State, so it's like, okay, well, yeah, they're easy pickings just like every other year. Vandy goes in there, takes them to double OT, I think it was.
Yeah.
30-27, I think it came down to a missed field goal. So we've got two teams right now who are, you know, kind of giving you the big eyes, staring at you going, don't sleep on Vandy now, because we did, and look what happened to us. But obviously Bama's not Vatek or Missouri, thank goodness, right? We wouldn't have much good to talk about if we were. So Bama should be all right, but is Vandy capable of tripping them up under these circumstances? Yeah, just a little bit. All right, I just wanted to touch on this because it was kind of like a float for time story. What do you think of Ole Miss? There's a reason I'm asking.
We're about to find out. That's what I think. Ole Miss hadn't played anybody.
Yeah, and they're coming off a loss.
Until they got to Kentucky. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to take anything away from Kentucky, but Kentucky is not world beaters.
No, I get you.
You know.
I get you, yeah.
And so, you know, this is another case similar to Florida State where you've got Lane Kiffin that went out and raided the portal, is known as a portal king.
Right.
And brought all these kids in from the portal. Well, the chemistry doesn't appear to be there.
Right.
Not as a tight-knit football team.
Yeah, I agree.
We're about to find out about Ole Miss. And Ole Miss cannot afford to lose this football game Saturday.
Ole Miss can't afford to have a bad season.
Right.
Because, you know, this has become the image of Ole Miss after their loss, but it was a matter of – this was supposed to be going your way. I mean, from an Alabama fan's perspective, Alabama doesn't face Ole Miss this year. Mm-hmm. And I think, dare I say, that some Alabama fans, especially not knowing how DeBoer was going to hold up, I think a lot of fans were happy about that. It's like, hey, let's not have a game with the Rebels slapped in with games against Georgia and Tennessee. You know, like, thank goodness Ole Miss isn't on here to just add to the whoopings that we may take this season. But no, Ole Miss – They beat up on nobodies. Going into the Kentucky game, their best win was over Wake Forest, and I'll be the first to tell you, that doesn't mean much. So when Ole Miss hosts Kentucky, and all of a sudden their unstoppable offense gets held to 17 points, and their defense that nobody can score on, Kentucky scores 20 points on, and beats you in Oxford, that's just inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to touch on that because Ole Miss, if we're not going to genuinely criticize them and genuinely say what's going on in Oxford, we can at least laugh because Ole Miss, their feigning injuries always bugged me. I never really liked that. They did it against Kentucky. I don't know if you saw. There was a video that went viral of Jackson Dart telling his running back to get down, saying, "Coach wants you to get down." They're doing it on offense. What do you? It's one thing to do it on defense when the offense has momentum. You're doing it on both sides of the ball.
I didn't see that.
Well, and that's the thing. It was late in the game. One of the ESPN commentators, whoever it was, said there was like a timeout for something, a hesitation, and he said, "And just when we were about to see three plays in a row without someone needing medical attention." I mean, you got even the commentators making jokes about it because they're so blatantly doing it. So anyways, Ole Miss, at the very least, it was funny that you did that. All right. Other team we were going to touch on was Auburn. Auburn coming off a tough loss hosting Oklahoma. They were up by 11 points. They ended up giving up 17 unanswered, threw a pick six late in the game. Lost that. Auburn's in some tough spots right now, and they've got to go to Georgia this weekend. So a fun fact for you is that Alabama is favored over Vandy by less than Georgia is over Auburn. And Georgia lost last week. They're coming off a heartbreaking loss. I don't know if people are expecting Auburn to just be Georgia's unfortunate punching bag this weekend or if that's just an insult to Auburn from a skill perspective.
Well, what Georgia's favored what? Last I saw, 24.
It was around 24. I can check again, but yes.
Yeah. Auburn is fixing to face a pretty ticked off Georgia squad.
Well, actually, I've got some breaking news here. Georgia now, according to ESPN, only favored by 22. So that's that fun fact I gave, which was true as of yesterday morning, has officially been changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean too much, but
yeah, but still, 22 is three scores.
Yeah.
I'll say it this way: if Auburn continues its current trend of throwing the ball to the other team and fumbling and doing all the things you're not supposed to do, it could be a very, very, very long day for Hugh Freeze in Auburn.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. All right, yeah, just wanted to touch on that. Just wanted to have some tomfoolery with you regarding Ole Miss and Auburn. But we'll take a quick break when we return. We'll actually tackle some of these games going around the SEC because there are some good ones. It's a slower week. Several teams have byes, but we'll get details on that and more coming up. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Calling all FSU Seminole fans. Tomahawk Talk is here. Tune in Wednesday from 9 till 10 right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM to get the latest on Florida State football. Hear from the experts, the superfans, and even some former players about what's happening on the field, the sidelines, to the locker room. It's your chance to be a part of the conversation and let your war chant out. It's Tomahawk Talk, Wednesday from 9 till 10. Tomahawk Talk, brought to you by the law firm of Gross & Schuster.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery? We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing catch. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guards Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 void in Mississippi.
Hi, it's Flint Lockwood here in Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered some amazing living foodimals, but we've also discovered an urgent matter that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. Our latest mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Help Flint and the Feeding America Network of food banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as always. And when we left off, we were just kind of touching on some of the trending stories, whether it be Alabama looking ahead to Vanderbilt and what Vanderbilt brings to the table. Also, talking about Ole Miss and their quite sudden and severe fall from grace, and then Auburn having the issues that they're having. You hinted at this in our last segment. Ole Miss, we're going to find out a lot more about them this weekend. I think we're going to find out a lot about Auburn this weekend, potentially, depending on how they perform. But that's the thing. That's what leads us to now, the game predictions here. We do have several teams that are on byes. Mississippi State's on a bye because they got Georgia next week, bless their hearts. LSU is on a bye. So is Kentucky. And then Oklahoma and Texas are for the Red River rivalry, so that'll be a good game to discuss going into next weekend. But right now, we start out swinging at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Number 9, Missouri, goes to number 25, Texas A&M. As far as competitively and as far as the rankings imply, this is probably the best game in the conference this weekend. What do you think?
I think it is. I hadn't even looked at the line. What is the line on that game?
Texas A&M getting a very narrow spread, having home field advantage. They're favored by 2.5.
I don't know. kind of think Missouri may go in there and pull an upset then in that scenario.
Yeah, Missouri, their only problem is they haven't faced anyone, and when they have, like some of the biggest names they've faced, they've struggled against.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got A&M. A&M struggled with Bowling Green. They squeaked past Arkansas. Great. I think that validated you being ranked for now, but you deserve to be ranked very low. You're at home. It's a tough place to play. I get that. Mizzou going into your house. I have Missouri winning. I do have them struggling, though. This is a battle between two overrated teams, in my opinion. I think the score I spitballed earlier this week was like 31-27,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally hadn't been – I've seen Missouri a little bit. They hadn't impressed me. I've seen Texas A&M. They hadn't impressed me.
Right. So. Auburn goes into Georgia. Georgia has a lot to learn. After last week, we learned that. But they are at home. They are favored by 22 over the Tigers currently. Auburn, we were talking about it during the break, Woody. I know it may sound blasphemous to say, but Auburn could be 5-0. This could be an unbeaten Auburn team.
Very easily. Yeah.
When you look at the teams that they've lost to and how they've lost, they turned the ball over 5 times against Cal. They turned the ball over 5 times against Auburn. They lost both of those games by a combined 17 points. And then they just blew a double-digit lead late in the game to Oklahoma, whose offense has been in shambles for the past few weeks now. So Auburn could very easily be unbeaten. They're not. This is a rivalry game. They go into Georgia. Could Georgia be sleeping on them a bit, or is Georgia just going to pummel them out of pure rage from last week?
Georgia's definitely not sleeping on them because of Kirby. Kirby won't allow that. Kirby's going to have Georgia playing Auburn as if they are 5-0. Yeah, I look for Georgia to really hit on all cylinders because I think Georgia found something the second half of the game, yeah. The Alabama game.
Hard to deny.
Yeah, and you know, previous games they were somewhat timid on how they threw the ball downfield.
Right.
Now I think they've got a little bit more confidence, so it's going to be hard for Auburn to stay in that ball game and keep it close.
Yeah, I think Georgia I do War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning. Don't worry, there's no conflict of interest here. But in all seriousness, Georgia hosts Auburn. I have Auburn giving them a scare early. Their defense is very physical. Their offense is getting better with the ball control. They only turned the ball over against a lethal Oklahoma defense just once. So I think they're going to give Georgia a bit of a scare, but Georgia will pull away in the second half. I think the score I pitched yesterday was like Georgia 36, Auburn 13, something in that ballpark. But the first half will be closer than that. All righty, here's an upset alert in every sense of the term. Number 12, Ole Miss, coming off a heartbreaking loss, some would say an exposing loss. They go to South Carolina. South Carolina's kind of iffy. They're kind of up and down, but they're at home. It's a tough place to play. Are they gonna rub salt on Ole Miss's wound tomorrow?
Possibly could. That's gonna be one for me anyway that I'm gonna wanna watch. What time do they play, by the way?
They play at 2:30.
Okay, good.
And Ole Miss is only favored by 8.5.
Yeah, yeah. I was finna say, the last I looked, Ole Miss was favored by 8. Rather, South Carolina, if they come out and play inspired football, they very well could put a W in the win column.
Yeah,
so you know, we'll see. And if South Carolina beats Ole Miss, I think they're done. I think Ole Miss is done for the year.
Oh no, I think so as well. I mean, because let's be real, obviously Ole Miss can still make the playoff. The only problem is now their window has gotten a lot tighter, especially when you look at, okay, well, Alabama clearly ain't going anywhere. Georgia, they competed with Bama in Tuscaloosa, so they're still in this. Tennessee, we'll touch on them in a moment, but they're one of the most proven teams in the country right now. So Ole Miss, their window has gotten tighter. South Carolina's only got one loss, and it's that close one to LSU that some would argue they should have won. Mm-hmm. So when you take South Carolina, another team that could be unbeaten, Williams-Brice, Ole Miss, man, that's a tough one. I'll say Ole Miss wins, and I'll say they cover. But so I got them winning by probably a couple touchdowns, but that's it. I don't see some blowout here, like 35-21, something in that realm. Then we've got, mentioned Tennessee just a moment ago. They're number 4 in the country. They are above Georgia, and I agree with that. Georgia played their toughest game so far this season, and they lost it, and they got outplayed in it early. But Tennessee, they beat up on Oklahoma on the road. They crushed NC State in Charlotte. So they have been willing to play big-time opponents, or at least what were supposed to be big-time opponents, and beat them convincingly. They go to Arkansas. This is another big upset alert for people because Arkansas is yet another SEC team that's tougher than they look.
Arkansas has played better than they were projected so far.
I agree.
It's a night game, right?
6:30 in Fayetteville.
So night game in Fayetteville, that's a place that's going to be wild. And the crowd's going to be lit. It's gonna be a tough environment to play in, but Tennessee appears to have the horses, so I would anticipate Tennessee coming out with a win.
Yeah, Tennessee's favored by 13.5. I, for one, think they cover that. I think Tennessee has come out and proven themselves every time someone was like, "Uh-oh, they're in trouble." At Oklahoma, that was a big one, And they were up 22-3 at one point in that game, shut down the Sooners. Their first-ranked opponent at the time, I think, was NC State that I mentioned earlier. 51-10 was the score of that game for those who weren't watching at home. I think this is another game where Tennessee goes out there trying to prove, hey, stop questioning us, all right? We're, you know, we're darn good. Arkansas, they're good. They're not great. Tennessee is looking like a contender right now. So give me the Vols, and I say they cover. All righty, last game in the SEC. UCF goes to Florida. Now, this is probably one a lot of people would scoff at for one reason or another. But after last week, Woody, this game seems – I mean, I'll tell you this much. Last week's result for UCF actually turned the tide on how I look at this game and who I have winning. What do you think?
Well, who's favored? It's like a two-point difference, isn't it?
Yeah, UCF favored by 2.5.
UCF is favored.
Yes. That's a slap in the face to Gator fans, I think.
Yes, it is. if this may be – this may be the last game Napier is head coach if UCF
wins
this ball game.
Yeah, I was just fixing to ask you about that. Do you think I know it could be, but do you think it will be? If Florida loses, do you think they fire Napier? It's a shame we got to ask this every week, but
it's hard to say. If Florida loses this ball game, the key Bull Gators, who are put up all the money, are going to be just clamoring at the AD to let Napier go. Yeah, I mean, and I said earlier in the year, Strickland may be walking the plank also.
Oh, no. If you ask any Florida fan where they stand as a program today, they want Napier and Strickland both out the door. I mean, they wouldn't – I won't say who it was, but I've had a Florida fan who told me, you know, I actually kind of wanted us to lose to Mississippi State because they want there to just be they want to pull the lever already. Just get him out. We can – you know, we can try to bring in some sort of interim, somebody who can maybe fix this. Just try to right the ship a tad. What do you have to lose, right? That's how people are looking at the Napier situation. And this could be another game where maybe some Gator fans are hoping they lose, you know, just to give us a reason to pull the trigger on Napier.
You know, something that's been some rumblings in the background is there's a lot of want. I don't know whether it's in just the fans or this is coming from somewhere within the program at Florida, but Lane Kiffin's name is getting to be pretty prevalent.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, based on Ole Miss's performance last week,
if he's out of it,
if there's already been a good bit of discussion going on.
I've already seen some of those talks. Yeah, I mean, very, very well could be. I don't know what Lane's thinking, where, you know, we're not trying to come out here and make any declarations, but a lot of people are feeling validated today. A lot of the people that said, hey, he's leaving Ole Miss and his heart's already out of it, he's ready to move, whatever. If that is the case, then yeah, if this ever becomes officialized and Lane goes to Florida, we're going to be looking back on that Kentucky game a lot differently. My only problem with not taking UCF here is because they just got skunked by Colorado.
Yeah.
In the bounce house.
They did.
I just don't see you taking that whooping, losing your undefeated record, coming into Gainesville with the Gators off a bye. I don't see you winning that game. I have it being a pretty high-scoring one. The over-under kind of does as well. They've got it being over-under 61.5. I've got it being a little bit higher than that. I've got it being around, like, 66. But I've got Florida winning this game by about a touchdown.
That's probably – probably I'd probably go that route also. Yeah. They should. I'll say it that way.
Yeah, no, Florida, they should win the game. You know, you want to lose into Miami. Miami's top eight, even if they looked controversial last weekend. You want to lose to Texas A&M. Texas A&M's a ranked team, too. But, yeah, we're talking about a team that's still relatively new to the Power Four scene. And with all the circumstances we just covered, Florida's running out of excuses when it comes to losing ball games. We'll take a quick break when we return. Our final stretch, like we always do, touch on some of these national games. And, of course, give our score predictions on Alabama-Vanderbilt. We got all that coming up after the break. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the beautiful sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's the Knee Deep Band, a high-energy variety show band with something to please all ages. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with the Knee Deep Band.
Hey, football fans, with BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
On today's episode of America's Least Wanted, the home invaders most likely to threaten your family are not human. Cockroaches can spread salmonella and trigger asthma attacks. Termites destroy billions of dollars in property each year. And stinging insects send 500,000 people to emergency rooms. Learn how to protect your family. Arm yourself with the facts at pestworld.org.
A public service announcement from the National Pest Management Association.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities. Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Tomorrow in college play, the University of West Florida Argos take on the Mississippi College Choctaws at 3:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. 10:56 here. May have gotten a little bit overboard with some of our discussions, so we've only got a few minutes to work with here, but it's okay. Overall, it's kind of a slower weekend in college football as far as nationally pressing games. So we'll just get some quick hitters here before we give our predictions on Bama Vandy. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, SMU travels to number 22 Louisville. SMU's only losses to a ranked BYU, I believe. So, and Louisville just lost to Notre Dame. So both teams with quality losses. Who do you have in this one? I should say.
I'm gonna pick Louisville.
Yeah, I think Louisville at home. I think they'll win it. They're favored by 6.5. I've got them covering that spread, but not by much. I got it being like 34-26 is the score I jotted down here. Number 8, Miami, travels to Cal. I think this is the site of game day.
It is.
Cal's only loss is on the road to Florida State. Miami should have lost last Friday. What do you have in this one?
Yeah, I thought Virginia Tech got robbed last Friday night.
For sure.
It's Miami. I mean, Cal's not a good football team.
Yeah, I mean, I get that they're like 3-1 or whatever they are. I understand that, but I don't know, dude. That Miami, while I think they got exposed last week, they are better than Cal. So they go on the road. I'll say they win 34-20. All right. We just got to touch on it, if not for anything else, for a practical joke. Number 15, Clemson goes to FSU. I mean, Clemson, they've been a defensive-minded team for a few years now. Their offense has been popping off ever since the Georgia loss. Florida State just got, I guess the layman's term would be mollywopped by SMU. what do you think? Florida State has home field advantage. How much do you think that helps here?
That it ain't going to help. I think Clemson covers, and it's 14, right?
Yeah, 14.5. I'm not crazy about that. I don't know. If I'm Clemson, mm-hmm. I'm feeling mad disrespected right now. How does SMU beat you or beat FSU by 26, but Clemson is only favored by 14.5?
Yeah.
That doesn't add up to me. I got this being 44-10. I got it being another blowout. Florida State can't move the ball.
I agree.
And then we've got we already touched on one of the upset alerts, number 12, Ole Miss at South Carolina. I think some other ones would be number 10, Michigan at Washington, number 11, USC at Minnesota, just some of those for, you know, kind of, dare I say, negligible games. But once that you know, if it's 3:00 on a Saturday, I wouldn't turn them away. Those could be some good games because USC and Michigan aren't really looking too proven right now. All righty, game of the hour, Alabama, Vanderbilt. We expect this to be a high-scoring game for Bama. It's simply a matter of how many points is Vandy going to score. Mm-hmm. What's your final verdict, my friend?
I got Bama 45-10.
So you're giving Vandy credit. You've got them scoring them what was it? What was the stat earlier?
10 points.
Yeah, you've got them scoring 10 points for the first time in the 21st century. Right. So that's very sweet of you. I've got Vandy scoring 17. I got to be in 48-17. So we both got Bama piling it on. We got Vandy putting some points on by their standard. Okay, so the future's looking bright for Vanderbilt offense. You're listening to Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.